Amen. You may take your seats and turn with me to God's Word. We're going to read from Exodus 20 again, but I'm also going to read a few verses from Ephesians chapter 5. Exodus chapter 20 and also from Ephesians chapter 5. As we continue in our series on Exodus, we are in God's commandments right now, and we are focusing this morning on the third commandment. Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. And then the third commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Just to show you that the Bible has a lot to say about how we use our tongue, we know James chapter 3 very well. Let's read also just a few verses from Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So far the reading of God's Word. Now, beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, it has been several Sundays that we are studying specifically the Ten Commandments, and I hope it has been as refreshing to you as it has been for me. And the reason I say that, it's like every time that we're busy with this, every time we study the commandments of our Lord, the rays of His grace and glory, and I want to say must, shine brighter upon the cross and the open grave. And I hope you have seen and heard that even as we study through these commandments. The reason why that is important, because it shows us not only, as I said, our sins, but it also shows us God's beloved Son, the one who died for all the sins that we have committed against these commandments, but also the one who have kept these commandments on our behalf in total obedience, so that when He imputes us with His righteousness, when we believe in Christ, we stand before God in perfect righteousness. Let us then continue to study God's will for our lives with our hearts, I want to say, filled with gratitude, while we continue to realize how desperately we need a Savior, Jesus Christ. The first commandment taught us the object of our worship, the fact that we may only serve the one and true God. He is the object of our worship. The second commandment taught us that there's only one way to serve this only true God. So we cannot serve Him willfully in whatever manner we think is appropriate. And then the third commandment continues to focus on God, and that reminds us of who God is and how holy He is by telling us not to use His name in vain. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes His name in vain. Yes, with this commandment, God defends the honor of His wonderful and powerful name. In July of 1968, a man was convicted in Westminster, Maryland, on charges of disorderly conduct. He got 30 days in jail and a $25 fine on top of that. But would you believe it when I tell you that he got another 30 days in jail and another fine on top of that, because when he was arrested, he unlawfully used profane language by taking the Lord's name in vain. Long gone is that time, because that day a 320-year-old blasphemy law was upheld by the courts. We cannot even begin to think that this will happen today, right? I mean, look at the extent of this sin in our times. How the Lord's name is publicly taken in vain in shops and in restaurants, in movies and television, in books and in conversations. Now, there are different ways of misusing the Lord's name, and Lord willing, next week I will focus a little bit more on definite examples of how we can and will eventually transgress this commandment. But I firstly want us to see why this commandment is so important. That's what my focus will be today. And the first thing I want you to write down, if you make a summary of the sermon, is God's name is not nothingness. Now that sounds strange, but you will understand in a while. God's name is not nothingness. As I said in the first two commandments, God referred to Himself not only in the first person, but clearly He made it very clear to us that He is the only God. He also showed us that He's so holy that you and I cannot even come in His presence without Jesus Christ, and that we cannot worship Him without His instructions telling us exactly how to worship Him. Now that already must have given and brought us under the impression once again that this is our God. This is the God of the Bible. This is the God that created the universe. This is a God that has no comparison. This is a God that is not, and I say it with respect, our buddy. So God comes now and He gives us this commandment while speaking, where He has spoken in the first person, speaks now in the third person, and He said, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." When you think about our practice of name giving, we know that our names are given to us. You and I don't pick a name when you're a baby. Someone comes and He gives you a name. But also we mainly give names to identify a person and to tell at the most from which family someone is. But we also know that a name, and that's how it's supposed to be, must be much more than just for the purpose of identification. A name is also directly connected to someone's character and status. That is why Solomon said, a good name is better than what? Than good oil. But let us now think about God and His names. God did not receive His names from anyone else. And the reason is that God's sovereignty is reflected in the fact that He chose His own names, and that in His grace He came and revealed to us who He is. And part of how He do that is to make His names known to us. Yes, we will see that God did not just pick fancy or nice sounding names, as so often is the practice. No, God's names reflect who He is. His names reflect His person, His work, His character. We can say God is what His names are. His names show us that He is the sovereign ruler of the universe. And now God is saying in the commandment that if we use His name in a way that does not reckon with who He really is, we are breaking this third commandment. He is the only true sovereign God, and as such, we have to address Him and take His name on our lips. The Hebrew word, the Hebrew expression for to use in vain literally means you may not lift up the name of the Lord in insignificance or for nothingness. Remember our first point? Is God's name is not nothing. It's not nothingness. And that expression has far-reaching implications. It means that this command does not only forbid the deliberate cussing with His name, but also the thoughtless use of His name, the not reckoning with the fullness and the importance of His name. And we will focus on examples of that, as I said, next week. Now, the next thing that I want you to write down is, what name? And you might say, but what a strange question to ask. Certainly. God definitely forbids the misuse of any of His names in any way. But nevertheless, in this commandment, God deliberately referred to a specific name when He gave this commandment. He said, you shall not take the name of what? Of the Lord, your God, in vain. And Moses and his people knew this name by now very well. This was the name, you remember, in Exodus chapter 3, that God gave to Moses when He called him to save Israel from Egypt. When Moses asked the Lord what he had to answer the people when they asked him, who was it that sent him? God told him to say, I am who I am. Tell them, I am has sent you. Now, I mean, we talked about that when we went through that passage in Exodus chapter 3 a long time ago, right? The Hebrew name of God is pronounced Yahweh. Some say Yahweh, but Yahweh. And its literal meaning is, I am who I am. There is no other name like this. This is the personal name of God. With this name, God revealed to Israel that He is their God and that He is the powerful Savior of His people. And how did God not demonstrate that to His people when He brought them out under slavery? There's even more in the name. Apart from the fact that He's the powerful Savior, by this name, God also tells us that He is self-existent, that He is self-sufficient. Now, you've heard those terms, but let me explain it this way. You and I, when God even calls us, must become more and more what God has made us. We must become more loving. We must become more gracious. We must become more holy. But God is what He is. God cannot become more loving. God cannot become more gracious or more holy. He has all those attributes in fullness, absolutely in its maximum completeness. That is what it means when we say God is self-existent, that He's self-sufficient. He is, in plain language, 100% what He says He is. Now, fully under the impression of the importance of God's name, the more Orthodox Jews then decided, well, if this is the case, that his name is not to be used in nothingness, they decided not to use his name at all. They replaced the vowels with the vowels of Yahweh. They replaced the vowels in another name of God and combined it with the consonants in Yahweh. And eventually they read Adonai instead of Yahweh. Now that's, I want to say, this is what the Jews usually did. So often, and Jesus warned them against that, they fabricated their own rules and their own laws. Because God did not forbid them to use his name. God wants his children to call upon him. He's a personal God who loves us. His name occurs more than 7,000 times in the Old Testament. But God wanted his people to use his name with respect, with reverence, in thoughtfulness, in awe. Not only in worship, not only in parts of our lives, but in every instance. Yes, this commandment is not only saying, don't take up God's name wrongly, or don't speak God's name wrongly, or don't write God's name in a wrong way. No, it's saying, whenever you take up the name of the Lord, make sure that you are fully aware who he is and how holy our God is. And the reason, another reason is, and that's the next thing that you can write down, God's name is who he is. Apart from the fact that man did not invent God's name and that it was God who revealed his name to us, there is more that we must understand about God's name. I've said it just briefly in the beginning. And that is that God, or the name of God, is God himself. Who he is, who he is, his nature, his existence, his character is expressed in his names. God's name is the revelation of himself. You can write these passages down and go and read that again. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45. That is why David was able to say to Goliath, I come against you, what did he say? In the name of the Lord Almighty. You see, he refers to God's name, but it also meant that God himself was with him in person. He was certain of that in this fight against Goliath. And he knew that God will help him to gain victory in that battle. I've referred to Exodus, just going to mention it again. When Moses asked God, who should I tell the people or the Israelites who sent me? The Lord told him to say, I am who I am. You must tell them, I am has sent you. That means God himself, not the name, but God himself sent him. So with that name, Moses knew what he should call God, but he also knew who this God is. He knew what to expect of God. And that is how we find it right through the scriptures. When God reveals his name to man, he reveals himself. Think about Psalm 8. The psalmist sings, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth, who has displayed thy splendor above the heavens. Proverbs 18 verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And then he says, the righteous runs into it and is safe. You see, God's name is who he is. When God decides to bless Israel, he says, so they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I will then bless them. You read that in Numbers 6, 27. Psalm 54, verse 3, we read of the believer, again, who flees, where to? to the name of the Lord. O God, save me, he says, by your name. In Psalm 98, the same truth is emphasized. The psalmist awakens everyone, heathens and Jews, to glorify God's name. And then in verse 8, he says, ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. You see, to bring glory and honor to God's name is to bring glory to God himself. And then we must take in serious account the fact, and that's our next point, that he gives us a strong warning. I want to say his name is a matter of life and death. God says, whoever takes his name, the name of the Lord, in vain, will be punished. And I'm certain that you are now able to better understand why. This is not just a cuss word. This is to offend, to speak against the God himself if you use his name in vain. Any offense against God's name, in other words, is a direct offense against him. And we see that clearly in the laws describing the punishment for the one who blasphemed the name of God in the Old Testament. I'm just going to read to you Leviticus chapter 24, verse 11 through 16. There you see the son of the Israelite woman blasphemed the name and cursed. So they brought him to Moses, and now his mother's name was Shilumith, the daughter of Dibri, of the tribe of Dan. They put him in custody so that the command of the Lord might be made clear to him. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, bring the one who has cursed outside the camp, and let all who heard him lay their hands on his head. Then let all the congregation stone him. You shall speak of the sons of Israel, saying, if anyone curses his God, then he will bear his sin. Moreover, the one who blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him, the alien as well as the native. When he blasphemes the name, shall he be put to death. The one who does not honor God's name will die. But God tells us just the opposite of the one who knows him, who knows his name. The Bible tells us that he will have life. He will always live in communion with God. Jesus gave us the ultimate comfort of this truth when he said, recorded in John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. To know him is eternal life, because his name is the gospel. When God sent the mediator of the new covenant to his people, John testified about him. What did he say in John 1:14? And the word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory, glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. In other words, Jesus came and revealed the Father to us. He who was in the bosom of the Father came and explained the Father to us. And when this work of him was done, at the end of his earthly life, Jesus prayed in his high priestly prayer, and I have made thy name known to them, and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou didst love me may be in them, and I in them. That was his great task. He had to come and tell the people who God is. Jesus came and made God's glorious and holy name known to us. Yes, in Jesus Christ, God revealed himself to us. That is why he said, who saw him also saw the Father. And therefore his name is holy too. Yes, God has given him a name above all names in heaven and on earth. But God did not only reveal himself to us through Jesus Christ. He also gave us a new life through Jesus Christ. His name brought salvation to us. And it is promised to each and every one who believes in the name of Jesus. Because there is no other name by whom we could be saved. And when we believe in his name, we became a part of a holy family, owned and loved by our own Savior, holy and sovereign God, Yahweh. Oh, why will we not honor that name? The glorious name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And remember that also again today when you receive the benediction, when you receive the Lord's blessing, he lays his name upon you. And then he sends us out into this world. God lays claim to you so that you leave this church every Sunday as someone who is professing to be holy and solely the Lord's. How could we dishonor that name? I close. I trust you see again that this commandment covers much more than only the misuse of the name of the Lord by what we are saying. It really reveals our relationship with God in all areas of life. It reveals to us our own unfaithfulness, our poor testimonies, sometimes even the lack of trust, the poor witness we sometimes give in this world. It reveals how little we sometimes think about our own salvation and what God has done for us in Christ. And I pray that the Holy Spirit, through God's Word, will work a new gratitude in our hearts this morning for our salvation and what Christ has done on Calvary and for the new life that we have in Him. And I pray that it fills us with awe for His holy and His almighty name, the name of the God who loves us and made us His own. How then can we dishonor that name? And God's people say, Amen. Let us pray. Father, as we will soon depart from here, and you lay your name upon us, let us not for one minute forget who you are. And Lord, how much you have loved us by sending your own Son, not only to reveal to us who you are, but to make known to us your names, to understand more of your character and your work and your person. Oh, Father, we thank you for all your attributes. We thank you for your names. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your salvation. We thank you that you are Yahweh, that you are in Jesus Christ, our God. Help us, Lord, to honor your name day after day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close with hymn number 16, verse 1, 2, and 4. All hail the power of Jesus' name.
Chosen seed of Israel's race. ransomed from the fall. He ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him, 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 and crown him, Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him, 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 and crown him, Lord of all.
Receive God's blessing and go from here in peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever. Amen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.